Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SPTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. It's going to be a fun show today, folks, because we're going to get to talk relatively in-depth about two companies that we very, very seldom even gloss over, to be perfectly honest, and that is NWA and the former Impact Wrestling, which is now, once again, TNA. There's a lot of news breaking on both of these fronts, and we're going to cover them both. I do want to start with the NWA and Billy Corgan making his announcement that he has signed a couple of TV deals, from what I'm hearing, with the CW. Now, on the surface, I know there's a lot of people saying, look, he had a YouTube channel, and that wasn't overly successful, and do you really think this is going to make any sort of a splash in the wrestling community? And I have to tell you that I do. I actually do. For a couple of reasons. Number one is that, and here's why Corrigan's NWA may actually take more of a bite out of WWE than AEW. AEW's target audience is very young. You can see it by their demographic. They're shooting for the young fan. Now, the young fan is very fickle, and I warned everyone when AEW first prominence, and there were people wearing the hats and T-shirts before one match was even fully booked, I said, I don't want this to become the fidget spinner of professional wrestling. Hot for a week or two, a month or two, a year or two, and then it's going to fade. But you got to be very careful, because when you're dealing with fans of that age, and I'm not talking about late 20s or even our age. I'm talking about 17, 18-year-olds. You're going to find that they move on very quickly. Oh, that was hot last week. That was hot last year. What T-shirt am I wearing this year? And a lot of them weren't even really wrestling fans. They just jumped onto the bandwagon. And that's why I think, to a large degree, Tony Khan's Federation hasn't grown. You haven't seen tremendous growth when it comes to their actual numbers. They stay right around that. You know, they flirt with a million once in a while, even hit a million once in a while. But for the most part, if you want to average them out, they sit in the 700,000 to 800,000 range, and that's about what they're going to do. They're not getting more popular. They're not necessarily getting less, although recent house shows and recent even TV tapings have proven that they're not selling tickets. Now, you can say, oh, they went to the UK and sold 80,000, whatever you want to say. What I'm telling you is, if you haven't seen the photos of Sting doing his retirement announcement with literally 500 fans in the building, then you need to realize that there are certain areas where AEW is drawing, but a lot of areas there are not. Edge was also photographed doing his bit in the ring with a very sparse crowd. Now, there's reasons for this. The economy is terrible. And if you're 18 and 19 and 20, you probably can't afford to go. See, that's another thing. If you're working a, $15 an hour job and you're trying to make ends meet and keep car with gas in it and everything else, the last thing you're going to do is you're going to go to a wrestling show that's going to basically probably take a week's worth of your salary. By the time you get the tickets and you get the food and you buy the obligatory souvenir and you put the gas in the car to get back and forth, the next thing you know, you're like, well, there goes my week's salary, if not more for some people. A lot of the younger, you know, 18, 19-year-olds, they can't do it. They're not going to do it. So, yes, Tony Khan has that issue where he has fans who aren't, what's the right word for it? They don't have a lot of free cash. They don't have a lot of flexible income. Whereas the WWE audience is older. There was one demographic that said they were way older. One demographic said the average WWE fan's 50 years old. Now, by the time you're 50 years old, my assumption is you've probably got a decent nest egg. You've probably got yourself pretty secure financially. Probably got your ducks in a row. And if you want to go to a wrestling match and blow a few hundred dollars, you can. You want to bring the family, you can. However, Billy Corgan's NWA, I would think, would appeal to a more mature fan. Now, it really depends. I'm not saying there aren't going to be younger fans who love it. I'm sure there will. And I'm not going to say that there aren't older fans who love AEW. I'm sure there are. But I think the demographic is pretty clear that the old school style wrestling, which NWA features, is going to be more popular with the old school wrestling fans. So I do think that AEW fans are going to look at it, and they may try it, and some of them may like it, but I think the majority of AEW fans probably aren't going to be overly enamored with Billy Corgan's NWA. I do think that a decent amount of WWE fans, especially the older fans, are going to take a look at this and say, this brings back memories. This brings back when I used to watch AWA on television. This brings back memories when I used to watch the old WWWF on television. This brings back memories of this era or that era or the Mid-South or whatever it happens to be. And those people are going to watch. So it's not going to hurt the WWE in terms of Billy Corgan's not going to go head-to-head with any WWE program. I guarantee that's not happening. But I think more fans of WWE will, in fact, watch NWA than AWA fans. The way it could hurt AWA is as follows. There's a lot of wrestling shows on television. And if it gets to the point where you are even getting 10% of an audience saying, look, I can't watch all these shows. I've got a life. I can't watch every one of them. So therefore, you know, maybe I'll just watch one of the AEW shows because they got three or four now, right? Maybe I'll just watch one of those. Then that will hurt. The market is kind of flooded. So in retrospect, looking at the NWA deal, I'm thinking to myself, they're going to have to put this on. I'm assuming that they will put this on a Thursday or possibly a Sunday. The only things I can think of that make sense to me. Unless they want to try to put it on earlier and use it as a lead-in. Oh, you can watch NWA and then immediately go watch AEW or then immediately go watch Raw or SmackDown. I don't know. It'll be very interesting to see what time slot the CW puts this in. But having said that, I do think that the market's a little flooded now. And remember, WWE is saying they're going to do specials on NBC, right? So there's more coming yet. So we'll have to wait and see. But my immediate assumption, Mike, is that more WWE fans will be into this type of wrestling than AEW fans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's the thing. And They're still gonna do some stuff on YouTube. NWA. They're not gonna give up on YouTube, but it's not gonna be the bulk of their thing. You know, it's not gonna be, you know, whatever. And by the way, their YouTube, when Power was on YouTube, it was, generally speaking, like on a Thursday or Friday, like at 5 p.m., you know, so that's when they had it playing on YouTube. Now will the CW try and maybe stick it on a, it's a 1 hour show, so will they try and stick it on at night in prime time? It's a possibility, you know.
It's going to be interesting. That's going to be the key. If he goes head to head with any of these shows, I think it's going to not be good. I don't think it's going to be good. I do know that I've talked to a lot of AEW fans. I've talked to a lot of WWE fans. And while obviously there are some in both camps that say, oh, yeah, I'm going to give it a shot, there's a lot more in the AEW camp that says, I'm not all that interested. I've already seen it on YouTube. It's not my thing. Okay. Well, that's why I make the assumption that WWE fans are going to probably be more interested. However, I do think, and again, I'm not trying to be negative, but I do think that there's some interest waning in AEW. I've heard from a lot of AEW fans that say, it's not like it used to be. Turned out to be not that special after all. For a while, it was really hot and it was really good, and now it's kind of just, you know, blah, and nothing major, and they've kind of blown their load, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I do know that Tony Khan's mouth has not helped this company. Tony Khan making this a battle between WWE fans and AEW fans was asinine. It was absolutely asinine. From the very beginning, Tony Khan has said, we make a different product. It's for people who want also a different option when it comes to wrestling. You may prefer our wrestling. Maybe you don't prefer our wrestling. Maybe you're still going to prefer WWE, but you still like our wrestling. But that's not what Tony Khan did. Tony Khan's like the guy who opens up the pizzeria and then somebody opens up a fine Italian restaurant and the guy in the pizzeria is basically saying, oh, yeah, but our dinners are still better. Our dinners are still better. Their dinners suck, and writes phony Yelp reviews. Don't go to the diner. Don't go to that restaurant. There's a filthy kitchen. Don't go to that restaurant. I got food poisoning. Just because they are mad an Italian restaurant opened up. Instead of saying, well, look, they're fine dining. They're going to charge you X amount of dollars. They're going to put on a good product. They're going to put a good product on your plate. But if you want a pizza to go, or you just want to come in dressed in your T-shirt and jeans and you don't want to have to worry about, you know, having to leave a 25% tip and you don't want to have to worry about ordering from a wine list. You just want to come in and have yourself a chicken parm hero or a spaghetti dinner and sit at our booth. We're for you. Maybe you like both. Maybe you like to go fine dining once a month, but the rest of the time, you know, you'd rather grab a pizza to go or a hero to go. You can't be everything to everyone. Tony Khan should have said to the WWE fans, we absolutely want you to watch our product. We don't want you to turn your back on WWE. WWE is a great product. If I didn't think they had great workers there, I wouldn't be signing half of them. We just think that the way we do things might be more appealing to a certain group of people. But even if it's not, even if you prefer WWE style, I think you'll still enjoy the product we put on. So what we'd like you to do is watch both, ideally. That's what we'd like you to do. No, instead Tony Khan is basically like, well, if you like that crapola, you can go to hell. Okay, well then guess what? WWE fans are not going to watch. I don't know why you made this a war, because it's a war you can't win. I think he wrongfully assumed, I have billions of dollars, I'll win this war. It's not going to work. It didn't work for WCW. It's not going to work for AEW. And the last thing you want to do is isolate a potential part of your fan base. There are only so many wrestling fans in the world. And if half of them say, I wouldn't watch his show if you paid me because he basically insulted me, you then have cut out half of your audience. And I don't know how that's a good owner. We have not seen the WWE do that. We've not seen the WWE come on television or get on Twitter and say, if you're an AEW fan, you don't need to be watching our stuff. You don't even know what real wrestling is. You're this, you're that, you're the other thing. You have no idea what you're talking about. They don't do it. They don't do it. Fans can be very fickle. There was a long period of time where I did not care for NXT. It is a WWE product. And I was watching it saying, yeah, I'm not getting anything from this. This is just not doing it for me. Now they've gotten better. But never once did I hear anybody say, well, if you don't like NXT, then don't watch WWE. It's the same product and we don't need you. They never said that. Never once said that. I don't know why Tony Khan is doing that. The danger to Tony Khan is not NWA's wrestling, because, again, I don't think it appeals to Tony Khan's base audience all that much. The threat to Tony Khan is Billy Corrigan being a much, much superior owner and understanding his fan base and reaching out across the aisle. I guarantee you, you will not hear Billy Corrigan say, WWE sucks. If you like that stuff, you're not a real wrestling fan. You got to come over here and watch NWA. He's also not going to say, oh, AWA sucks. They're flashing the pans. If you're watching that, that's yesterday's news. Come watch us. He's not going to do any of that. I promise he's not going to do any of that. Now, knowing the way Billy Corrigan conducts himself, he probably would like to do that. But he's not going to. And the reason he's not going to, he's not going to cut his own throat. And he figures, look, if I can get 10% of AEW fans and 10% of WWE fans to watch the show, it's still more than I was drawing on YouTube. So I think they got to take that into consideration, Tom. Tony Khan has brought a lot of this on himself, and I think people are starting to smell blood in the water for a new second major federation.
Yeah, he sure has. And he's a mark for heat as well, because – we even said at the very beginning when AEW, even when Cody Rhodes, when it was, you know, under Cody Rhodes, Tony was kind of in the background. But what did we say about, you know, AEW? We said AEW is going to be the flavor of the week, and eventually it's going to fizzle out. Well, now it's starting to fizzle out. And people are just going elsewhere because pretty much their intelligence is insulted. And it was like, hey, you know what? You went on Twitter and made all these social media posts against two people who put pretty much every one of your stars on the map. And you're biting the hand that feeds you. You're stupid. So if he's that stupid, what do you think what kind of storylines do you think he can come up with that are appealing to those fans? None.
Yeah, and you see, you can't defend this, because as much as a guy like Chris Jericho wants to get on Twitter or X, whichever you want to call it, and say, oh, you fans don't know what you're talking about. Tony Khan, you do whatever he wants to do. You don't know how to run a business. You don't know anything about it. Then how come people who do know how to run a business, like Eric Bischoff, Dutch Mantel, other people, are saying this is a horrible mistake? Are you going to tell them to their face, Chris, that they don't know how to run a business? See, that's the problem. It's so easy to vilify a fan. It's so easy to just say, okay, well, you're a fan, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, that fan said the exact same thing that a guy who very clearly does know what he's talking about said. So if that fan is wrong, then obviously that other person is wrong too. Except when they say it, you'll say, oh, well, you know, that's a valid opinion. Oh, why? Why is it any more valid? See, what we got to realize, I think, in the wrestling business is there is no more valid opinion than a fan's opinion. Who's more valid? I mean, if you have been in this business 50 years and you say, if you put that match on this way, you book that match this way, it's going to be a disaster. It's a booking nightmare. Fans are going to revolt. And then you go ahead and book that match that way, and the match gets a standing ovation. You're wrong. I don't care how long you've been in the business. Ultimately, the fans decide, oh, this guy's the new sensation, and the fans don't take to him. And you're like, well, fans are stupid. Well, they know who they like, though. It's like a gourmet chef telling someone who goes into the restaurant, you do like this food. I don't care if you say you don't like it. Then you're an idiot, because anybody with a good palate would like this food. It's irrelevant. Your customer don't like it. And your customer's all that matters. Only in pro wrestling do you see this, where pro wrestlers constantly attack fans. Only in pro wrestling. You never see it in any other sport. You don't see baseball players and football players getting on Twitter having wars with fans about how to play the game. So wrestlers need to get over themselves and realize it's the fans, and it's only the fans that count. Tony Khan wanted to have all the fans, and he should have wanted to have all the fans. That's what any good owner wants to do, right? I want my company to be number one. I want all the fans to be happy with my product and make me number one. Of course, that's what you want when you start your business. But Tony, you started it off basically saying we're going to run the WWE out of business. So here's wrestling fans who say, wait a minute, I'm really anxious for AEW, but I don't want them to run WWE out of business. I want both. Why are they so concentrated on that? Why don't they just concentrate on putting on a good product? And it turned a lot of fans off. And then these wrestlers started mouthing off. And that started turning some fans off. And then Tony Khan started mouthing off about it. And that turned some fans off. And pretty soon you got to the point where you looked at a federation who said, we are going to create superstars. We are going to create a federation where everybody is equal and the wrestlers get to do basically what they want. And you'll see the creativity behind all the wrestlers. And then you hired a bunch of old WWE wrestlers to just beat their asses every night. And we're not seeing any superstars emerge. We're seeing old superstars elevated and younger ones, with the exception of one or two, doing nothing. So I think that's something to consider, Todd. Who do you think NWA is going to draw more fans from, the WWE or the AEW?
To be honest with you, like you said, it's going to be a hard choice right here. You got the WWE, you got AEW. The WWE, the more loyal, the WWE loyal fans will probably watch, probably go watch the NWA product. And, you know, it's like you, me, Tom, and Mike, we'll all probably got to check out the NWA on the CW when it comes out.
See, I'm going to be very anxious, Mike, to see what Billy Corrigan's statement is, and if he even mentioned AEW or WWE in it.
And we applaud him for being a very good. You may not like his music, you may not like him, his personality, but he's a very good businessman. He's not. He's probably not in that statement. He's probably not going to mention it. He's just going to stick to the fact that we're on CW and all that stuff, and this, that, and the other. Yeah, and
yep.
Yeah, they may have a few, you know, Tyruses there. Aaron Stevens is there, and there are a few other WWE stars, including, I believe, Zack Ryder's back there. But on the whole, they have some guys there, including the son of Ricky Morton's there, Kerry Morton's there. So they've got some younger guys that they're starting to push up the ladder a little bit to where they're going to be. When this contract kicks in and they get in, people are going to be introduced to people like Kerry Morton and people like that, you know? Yeah. So we'll see what happens with this. And yeah, you know, we're looking at Emeril Lagasse versus a roadside diner. right?
Right.
The WWF is Emeril Lagasse, and NWA is a roadside diner. There's room for both.
No, you're absolutely correct. And you know what? That sometimes I don't want to go into a restaurant. I just want to stop at a burger joint. That doesn't mean I don't have an appreciation for food. So, this is the thing. If you're creating a different product, and AEW is a different product, then just focus on that and say, listen, we're not trying to beat WWE. We're not trying to run them out of business. We're not trying to belittle the fans who love it. We love it. But we also love this. And we thought we wanted to bring fans an alternative. Something a little different in the world of professional wrestling. Isn't that what Paul Heyman did? Paul Heyman said, I couldn't compete with the WWE. I couldn't compete with their pyro. I couldn't compete with their production. I couldn't compete with their the level of their talent. There were so many things I could not compete with. But the one thing I could do was give fans an alternative where I could serve them something they would never see in WWE. And that's exactly what he did. And look how thirsty the fans were for that. If Paul Heyman had been a better businessman, ECW could have risen to huge heights because they had the most loyal fan base I've ever seen. And slowly it was growing. People were starting to get, now you did have the negativity of Paul Heyman saying, we reached a point where how much more extreme can we be? We've reached a level where we're going to have to start going backwards, not forwards, because what are you going to do? We put a guy through a table and then two tables and then two tables with the bottom one wrapped in barbed wire and then two tables with the top wire and the bottom one in barbed wire. And then we've had them jump off the 50-foot crow's nest. And I mean, at some point, there's nothing more we can do. We can't top what we've already done without seriously hurting or killing someone. That is true. They had reached that point. The drug had become to the point where there was no harder drug, put it that way. So, but I think they could have slid into an area where that extreme wrestling was featured, but not always the main factor. Paul was a better businessman. Now, when Tony Khan came along, and originally he didn't. Originally it was Cody Rhodes and the Bucks. What I heard was, we're going to have basically a federation that wrestles indie style, which means a lot of the matches are going to be longer. It's going to be way more athletic. It's not going to be as character driven. It's going to be more athletic driven. We will have angles and storylines, but they're going to be sparse. It's going to be just solid matches for fans, purist wrestling fans who say, I just want to see two guys wrestle for 20 minutes and show me their athletic ability. Then along came opportunities to sign guys who can't wrestle that style. And Tony Khan said, well, I'm jumping at that opportunity. I'm definitely going to sign this guy. I'm definitely going to sign that guy. They got a big name. And the next thing you know, you were filled with people like that, and you had to take a back seat. And you had to say, well, we are going to do some of these matches, and we are going to do these characters, and we are going to do some of these storylines. And you kind of got away from exactly what it is that you promised the fans. And it's really not that big of an alternative now. When I watch AEW, when I originally watched AEW and I watched WWE, I said to myself, AEW has much more in common with NXT than it does with WWE. Not the same product at all. Closer to NXT. Now I watch it and I say, nah, it's pretty much like WWE. It's pretty much the same. You've changed it, and you've changed your vision of what it was supposed to be, and I think that's part of the reason Cody Rhodes left. I think he realized they changed their vision, and it wasn't going to be what it was supposed to set out to be. So it'll be very interesting to see if Billy Corgan can come along and give either one of these companies even a tiny run for their money. Now, Corrigan would be considered a huge success if he does 350,000 to 400,000 views on CW, it's going to be a tremendous success. He doesn't need to do 900. What he does need to do, however, and it'll be interesting to see if he can do it, is he can't say, okay, well, I signed a three-year contract with the CW, and the opening show drew 500,000, and then a year and a half from now, we're still drawing between 400 and 500. Well, then you haven't grown. You got to grow. We got to see growth. If we see growth, even marginal growth, on a yearly basis, then that's a positive sign. If we see no growth or going backwards, that's a negative sign, just like it would be in any business. But I do think, and I'm not a big Billy Corrigan fan, I've told you that. I've heard horror stories about his personality. I don't think he's an extremely talented singer or musician. And he may have been the single worst on-air personality I ever saw in a professional wrestling ring. However, I do think he's a good businessman. And I have no doubt in my mind that not only does he love wrestling, but moreover, he understands it. I think he gets what makes wrestling fun. I think he gets that. I'm not sure Tony Khan gets that. I think Tony Khan is one of these guys, I just love wrestling, I don't really know what makes it fun, but these guys will know. So the Bucks will know, Cody will know, everybody will know, they'll do their thing, and I'll just stay out of the way and shake their hand. I don't think Billy Corrigan's that guy who stays out of the way and shakes your hand. I think Billy Corrigan's the guy who says, look, I've got a vision, and you guys are going to help me get to that vision, and I'm going to pay you money to present my vision to the public. Because at the end of the day, here's the difference. Tony Khan is a businessman. Billy Corrigan is also a businessman, but he's an artist. And an artist always wants to present their vision. A businessman may just invest in something and say, I don't know, I'm a silent partner. I don't know a damn thing about donuts, but I bought 10 donut company. They'll work it out. As long as the profit hits, I don't care. I'm just the money man. Billy Corrigan's not the money man. Billy Corrigan's the artist who wants to make the donut recipe. The difference, Tom. And that's what could make a big difference in the NWA. I don't think we have Tom there, so we'll go to Mike. Mike, you get my analogy, right?
Right. Think of it this way. Let's go back to the early 80s and Vince McMahon. When he bought the WWF from his father, right? And Vince McMahon had a vision. He knew where he wanted to go, and he had a vision, and he was an artist. He was a businessman, but he was an artist as well. And he knew he wanted to grow the business to where the vision would get to, and he had a plan on how to get there. That's where we see now, granted, when Corrigan tried to buy Impact or TNA or whatever it was at the time, and he probably told people about his vision for Impact, and they didn't agree with the vision, and they didn't want to sell it to him, right?
Yeah.
So that's where that stood. But, yeah, Corrigan, and you're right. Let's just say for the sake of argument, Marcus, that Corrigan, the first show on CW does 350,000, all right, which is good for Corrigan. It may not be good for the CW, but it's good for Corrigan, all right. Let's say at the end is a 4-year deal. At the end of 4 years, they go from 350 at the beginning to, I don't know, 600.
Yeah.
That's an improvement.
Well, that would be tremendous.
That would be tremendous. And that would make Corrigan happy, and that would make the CW happy.
I think it would make the CW extraordinarily happy. Any growth is going to be a positive thing. This is why I have my doubts when it comes to a place like AEW, because I don't see it. I don't see growth. any business wants to have a little bit of growth. If you open up your doors, no matter what you're selling, if you're a department store, you're a restaurant, whatever the hell you're selling, and your first 7 or 8 months in business, you're doing smashingly. And then you start to settle down. You say, well, this is going to be the new norm. We did well because everybody's trying out. It's a new store. It's a new place. Everybody tried it out. But now we're settled down, and this is going to be our normal take on a weekly basis. And then a year from now, it hasn't improved one bit. You really have to ask yourself, why is my business not growing? Why am I not taking in more income? Why am I not bringing in more people? There has to be a reason. I don't see AEW doing that. I see AEW being cocky, saying, we don't care. We still got the best product. We don't care. You don't think it's the best product? That's because you're stupid. We don't care. You can't do that. Now, whether you like the WWE, you hate the WWE, or you think they lied, and they certainly did lie, the WWE, I recall, had Vince McMahon, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, and I believe even Shane McMahon get in the ring and say, we hear you loud and clear. You don't like the current product. We are changing it. There's going to be less of what you don't want and more of what you want. Now, they went right ahead and did what they wanted anyway. But at the end of the day, they did address it. They didn't get in the ring and say, look, we put the best product on, and we can prove it because we've been successful for we don't know how long. We have got the most watched wrestling show in the universe. If you don't like it, get the hell out. If you don't like it, tough shit. They didn't do that. Even if they were being 100% hypocritical, they pretended to care and said, we hear you guys. We see that the direction we're going you don't like. And we're going to go in a totally different direction. You remember that time, right, Mike?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, and think about it this way: you look at what's going on with the WWE now, and you look at the fact that there seems to be, and we'll get around to this later, but there seems to be a tightening up on how they're producing their shows, how they're writing their shows. They're getting somewhat better. Whereas there was when Vince was still there, it was scattershot. It seemed like at times they were throwing things at the wall. The day of Raw or the day of SmackDown, and a lot of the stuff may have stuck, but didn't make logic. Wasn't logical. Didn't make sense. You know, and so they'll. The WWE will at times correct itself, whereas a place like AEW doesn't seem to do that. And I think that NWA, because he's an artist, because Corgan is an artist, NWA is going to follow suit with the WWE in terms of if something's not working, they're going to correct it. Whereas AEW,
I'm hoping that'll be the case. I'm hoping that'll be the case because at the end of the day, you can't be so arrogant as to just say, oh, you don't like what I'm doing? Well, that's because you're stupid. Now, you can't take everything to heart. I mean, there's going to be people who say, oh, the Beatles sucked. Well, I don't know. I mean, if they sucked, they certainly took it to the bank, didn't they? And I don't think they care one bit or cared one bit if you thought they sucked because they were highly, highly, highly successful. That's not my point. You're never going to make everybody happy. My point is when you're not growing or your fans are dropping off, you have to take a look and say, what are we doing to cause that? And that's an important factor. And you can't just say, oh, it's because they're stupid. No, it has to be something with you because you had them. If a guy comes in once a week and has, your cheeseburger deluxe, and then all of a sudden he don't come in no more for that cheeseburger deluxe, aren't you going to say to yourself, maybe we shouldn't have changed the meat patty. Maybe we shouldn't have done this. Maybe we shouldn't have done that. Maybe they don't like it anymore. You don't say, oh, he's an idiot. Just not the way business works. Anyway, speaking of businesses and the way they work, Impact Wrestling is no more. They have rebranded themselves, ladies and gentlemen, and they are now back to being TNA Wrestling. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. The little video package they showed with the wrestlers all getting together in the woods somewhere to lament the days of TNA was corny as all get out. And it did not impress me one bit. But this is a very smart move. It's a very smart move for several reasons. Number one, Impact Wrestling wasn't growing. They saw that. They took a look at this and said, Impact has a bad name now. We're always going to be third or fourth banana. We're always going to be that, oh, that's Impact Wrestling. They're there also. We're not fresh. We're not exciting. We're not new. And as a matter of fact, there's some tarnish on our name. So if we go back to TNA and we say we are not only going to change the name, we're rebranding the whole product. We're going to be getting different belts. We're going to be playing larger venues. We're going to be doing more different styles and storylines. We're going to be revamping some of the characters, adding some people to our roster. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing because now you've created interest. And this, more than anything else, could be a game changer if they really step up to the plate. Because TNA is not Billy Corgan's NWA. NWA has a huge, long, storied history, but it's not Billy Corgan's NWA. TNA has been proven to be a top federation. And if they can get back to that, they're going to get a major TV deal. And there's one that's coming up in January of 2024. So I'm very interested in how they're going to pull this off. Now, at Bound for Glory, they had that big Battle Royal thing, and Sonny Kiss showed up in it. Juventud Guerrera showed up in it. Matt Cardona showed up. And I'm thinking to myself, if they could secure any of these people, and then you got to look at some of the free agents that so far, the AEW hasn't necessarily courted. If you added, I don't know, say you added Dolph Ziggler to that list. Yeah, he's a little bit older, but man, he can still go, and he's got a name, and he's got the personality, he's got the mic skills, he's a former champion. That's a big name. Younger, well, he's not that much younger, but a talent that's a little more whatever, current. How about Mustafa Ali? Put him over there. If you put him over there, Matt Cardona, if he doesn't go with NWA and he goes to Impact or now TNA, that's a big name. That's a big name. And suddenly you're looking at a federation that Hogan and Sting, you know, that's what people are going to remember. They're going to remember those big names that forged TNA. They're not going to remember the Impact thing where it's like, oh, Impact, who you got over there, Moose? You know, they're going to remember that. And coincidentally, Sting retiring and saying he's retiring, it makes me really wonder if they wouldn't use him in some non-in-ring capacity in TNA. And if maybe that's part of the plan. Impact Wrestling rebranding themselves is probably a bigger deal than NWA signing a TV deal. Because they are an established brand who had a decent fan base, a very large fan base, actually, and had legendary wrestlers. And I know NWA did too, but NWA is so far removed from those wrestlers now. And I mean, NWA for a while was doing this thing where they were like NWA over here and over there and over here, and they were literally licensing out their name to indie federations, you know, so it was like, oh, we're NWA, but we're also this federation. They lost that luster. TNA really didn't. people look back on TNA and they think of Hogan and Sting and Flair and all that stuff, right? So this could be big. This could be pretty big. And I don't think that they would make fools of themselves and literally say that we are going to have bigger venues. We're going to be signing some major names. We're going to be changing our belts. We're going to be doing all this. And then we're just going to stay on this weak little TV station where we draw 200,000 people. I think they got big plans. And if they do, if they've got something secured, or if they can reach a bigger fan base, I think this could be a bigger deal, Mike, than NWA.
It could be a bigger deal, but then again, remember all those times, what, 15 years ago, we were still talking about TNA at the time, and we were saying, well, this could happen, but they seem to bite themselves in the foot, right? You know, that was a little bit before Hogan and them got there, but yeah, we'll see what happens with TNA. I mean, Jordynne Grace is back and all that stuff. She won that Battle Royal or whatever, but yeah, you're right. Sting was there, Hogan was there, Kurt Angle was there, AJ Styles was there, you know, a bunch of people. I mean, look at what they did with the last big event. They brought back all these guys. They brought back a lot of these guys. James Storm, America's Most Wanted, him and his tag team partner, Jordynne Grace came back. All these people came back to help out TNA. So we'll see what happens. And, I mean, as long as they've got what's her name away from the action, Dixie Carter away.
Yeah.
Right? We don't want her anywhere near it.
No, and I don't think she will be anywhere near it. The thing is, you can say I'm going to play bigger venues. It doesn't mean you're going to draw the fans. So they've got to understand that too. They can say, oh, well, right now we're holding our TV tapings in this little venue and it's, you know, got 4,000 or 5,000 people and we're going to go out to a 15,000 seat arena. Well, how about if you only still sell the 4,000 or 5,000? So you've got to be careful. You've got to give the fans a reason to say this rebranding means something. There would be a few ways to do that. Number one, you've got to sign somebody that people say, holy shit. A big name. Now, there's not many big names out there. I know some people say CM Punk, but that's like cutting your own throat. Not that many big names out there. So it's going to be tough to do that. However, you can get at least legendary names involved. There are people who are not doing anything really in the wrestling business right now that if they at least got their nose in it, not to wrestle, but to play a backstage character, to play a role in the company, to be an on-air personality in some way, shape, or form could benefit you greatly because fans would say, I'd like to see him again. Look at Bully Ray. He's wrestling occasionally now, and the fans are into that because, oh, we like Bully Ray. Okay. Well, maybe he can still go a little bit. Maybe there are other guys might not be able to go, but they could still play a role. And you could still say, look, we have this name. One of them would be Sting. If you attach Sting's name to this and said, he's going to be our general manager or he's going to be our whatever, and you're going to see him on a regular basis on TNA, he's one of the guys who helped make it. That's huge. That would be huge. There are other names that can be signed that aren't even legends. I mean, if you got a Matt Cardona, that is a big boost. That's a big boost. Juventud Guerrera is a pretty big boost. These are names people know. I don't know why you wouldn't have tried harder to keep Sammy Callahan, but maybe he wasn't fitting into your overall plans or you were trying to free up some salary. I don't know. I do know that I believe that they would not have went through this much trouble to just basically say we're putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. We're basically just saying, it's the same company, same roster, same everything. We're just changing the logo and the title. I don't believe that. They have said they're not doing that. They have said this is a total turnaround, a total revamping of this company. So when they say something like that, Todd, I'm expecting that we're going to be hearing some names added to this roster that will pique our interest at very least.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, we might see some big names coming in to formerly known as Impact Wrestling, now back to TNA, Total Nonstop Action. You might see a big name, but like you said, you might see some people who created TNA, who was the originators of TNA. Like you said, like a Kurt Angle or something, he's not doing nothing. Maybe Dang, maybe Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah. There's a lot of options here, Mike. If they really want to do this, they're going to have to open up the purse strings a little bit. You never grow your business without investing in your business, so I assume they're ready to do some investing.
Right, and think of it this way. They bring in Sting, and we've said that like Darby Allin has kind of stalled out, right, in AEW. If they bring in Sting, that could be a shot that when Allen's contract comes up, Allen heads over to Impact. You know, if Sting's there.
Yeah, plus I think that's a good point. But plus I think you've hit on something too, and that is, you know, you got a lot of wrestlers in that AEW locker room who are saying, we're not happy. We're not happy with the AEW. We don't really want to re-sign our contract, but we either A, the WWE is not interested in us, or B, we don't really want to go there because we know we're going to get lost in the shuffle. We know we're not going to be treated well. So reluctantly, we might stay in AWA where we're not doing AEW, where we're not doing anything. But at least we're not treated so badly. Now they might have an option. Well, TNA is hungry for talent. TNA is looking for the next big guy. Maybe I could be that next big guy. See, because that is what TNA is looking for. TNA is looking for that next big guy. They're looking for that person who will draw eyes to the product, that can be the face of the brand and have people say, oh, man, he's cool. I got to watch him wrestle. And everybody thinks they can be that guy. So there's a lot of guys in the AEW dressing room right now, I think, is eyeing this very carefully, saying, let's see how this works out. Because if these guys get a decent deal, if they're starting to draw fans, when my AEW contract comes up, I now have a couple of options. It's not just WWE or overseas. We have the NWA to think of. They're going to be a low rent, you know, sort of a deal. They're not going to pay you big money. Or we have TNA now, who's just rebranded and they're investing in their product. They're a tried and true brand that has, you know, name recognition, big name recognition, and they're looking for the next big guy. So maybe wrestlers would be more interested in trying to be that next big guy, Mike, and that could be very interesting to see when some of these contracts come up.
Right, and think about it this way. I would say that Matt Cardona has a good shot of ending up there anyway because the two other guys, what's his name? Not Zack Ryder, but Kurt Hawkins is there and Mike Knox is there.
Yeah.
They were in a group with him. So if they're already there, it's likely that he's going to go there. And I don't know what's going to happen with Chelsea Green anyway. But anyway, and the thing is you look at some of these guys that aren't happy in AEW. I mean, yeah, they're doing some good work. They're slow playing the whole thing with Miro and CJ Perry. But and everybody knows where that's going. But there are a lot of other people that aren't, you know, that probably aren't happy. And if you look at it, I mean, look at what happened when Naomi signed with Impact. you know? Yeah, she's not as big as she could be in the WWE, but she's the champion now, and, you know, if Hikaru Shida or whatever, take your pick of any of these other women besides what's her face that's married to Adam Cole, all any of these other women's contract comes up, they may end up in Impact as well.
Yeah, you know, one name that I keep thinking of, it would be probably a long shot because he hasn't re-signed with WWE, and they said they're still far apart on money, which means he wants all the money in the world. And I don't know if TNA would be able to give him that. But if he was not happy in WWE, and it wasn't so much about the money as it was about his booking and his whatever, Drew McIntyre would be a gigantic name. And he was there. So if you could bring in a Drew McIntyre, you might have your guy. You may have that big name that you wanted. That would be a huge name for Impact. They opened up the purse strings enough and gave him, TNA now, keep calling it Impact. TNA is saying the wrestlers have a lot more control over their creative. Maybe that's going to be important to some. Maybe a guy like Drew McIntyre could be swayed back there. If by any chance you got a name like Drew McIntyre, it's only going to, and he's happy there, it's only going to make other people say, well, maybe I have to give this a better look. Now, I wasn't initially too thrilled about going, but McIntyre's there. He seems to be doing okay. Those things seem to tend to snowball, Mike, and if you could sign that first big name, sky's the limit.
Right, and that's the thing. If you look at it, I mean, really, TNA, you know, they could probably, if it's not Sting that's going to be the general manager, they could probably sway Kurt Angle or Hogan or somebody like that to come in there and be the general manager, you know, or the authority figure, or whatever you want to call it, right? I mean, they could probably sway, you know, the rest of, if Bully Ray goes back there, they could probably sway the rest of the guys that were in Aces and Eights back there, right? You know, so
very possible,
very possible. And Drew McIntyre, if they say, okay, we can't afford you, Drew McIntyre, but you have more control over your creative, Drew may take that. And if Drew takes it, then there's a possibility that if somebody like, I don't know, Sheamus somehow gets cut loose from the WWE, he may take it as well.
His contract's coming up too. There are several options. And, I mean, we all know the biggest free agent coming up is MJF. Now, he said, I'm just going to go to the highest bidder, and it certainly isn't going to be TNA. But you never know. I mean, what could TNA offer them? They could say, look, we're a major federation. You're going to be one of the top, if not the top guys here. We got a real good TV deal lined up. We're going to be playing big arenas. You're going to be up here against some very, you know, top talent. And you're going to be the biggest fish in this ocean. He might say, you know what? I might take a little less to do this because it'll almost be like it's mine. You know, I'll be going over there and I'm the top guy, right? You never know. It depends on how serious the owners are. I just can't imagine a world where they just said, we're basically just changing the logo. We were called Impact and that got a bad name, so we're just going to call ourselves, back to TNA. It's not like you're a restaurant where they say, we got bad reviews as Cafe 22, so now we're going to change our name to Joe's Place, but we're going to serve the same food. I don't think that's going to be the case. They've already stated they want to play bigger shows. They're not going to do it with the talent they got. They can't sell out where they're at now. So they already know they're going to have to put some money into this. And they basically said they're going to. They're getting the new belts. They're saying that we're on to bigger and better things. We are actually going to make our run as a top dog federation. Well, then you're going to need some top dog guys. So if they do open up those purse strings and they say, look, you know, we know we're going to have to pay up the nose for a couple of people to really get eyes on our product, they may feel it's worth it. And you just never know. There's a lot of guys floating around there. One of the first people, and I know everybody, every time I mention this, I get emails and texts and everything saying, why do you think so much of that guy? He sucks. I would go instantly and try to get Enzo. Enzo has expressed interest in wrestling again full time. Get him. Get him. By all means necessary, get him. Is he going to bring a bazillion eyes to your product? No, he's not going to bring a bazillion eyes. But he is going to cause interest, and he is going to cause a stir, and people are going to remember him and say, he's fun. Let me see what he's doing. And if you handle him correctly, this is another thing. You have to get good writers. You have to get people who really are good at what they do and know how to handle a guy like Enzo. WWE did a brilliant job for a long time with him. If you could manage to do that, yeah, I think he could be a very popular addition. And someone who could really help you in the future because, again, he could manage. He doesn't have to always wrestle. He could manage. He could announce. There's a lot of things Enzo could do. So he's one of the first guys I'd go after as a minor signing, Todd.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Todd. Like you said, about Enzo and everything. He could get like big attention from wrestling fans around the world. And like you said, it's... I think that would be a great idea to get Enzo in. They're not doing nothing. He's not doing nothing right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's remotely interested or if he could do it or if he's under contract to somebody else, but I don't think so, Mike. You could also, if you just wanted a backstage personality like a commissioner or a general manager or whatever it happened to be, or just a plain manager, Bret Hart's still around.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Bret Hart's still around. But again, I would think that Bret Hart would rather, I'd rather not get back in. But if anything, because of this tournament, this Owen Hart tournament, I would think that Bret Hart would go to AEW just for the sake of that tournament. But again, I'm not sure about that. And hell, if Natty's contract, I know we think Natty's going to be a lifer at the WWE, but we thought that of Matt Cardona, right?
Yeah.
So if Natty's, that would be a great ad for TNA in their women's division.
Could be a very good ad, and you know, they're going to need a few women too, obviously. We know that. But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Bret Hart would probably lean toward AEW a little bit more, but you just never know. I mean, it's at least worth considering. Because you're going to need those names now. You know, I don't know. They shouldn't mess with Goldberg. It's not worth it. I know they might want to bring back that whatever. But here's a thought. You got Bully Ray over there. You got Tommy Dreamer over there. I know he can't get back in the ring, but maybe you could put him on creative. What about Scott Levy? What about Raven? I mean, he would make a great addition to that creative team, Mike.
He really would. And that's the thing. I mean, last few months we've said, why haven't anybody hired Scott Levy for the creative team?
Yep.
I mean, that would be a really small, I mean, hell, I mean, look, why hasn't, we keep saying that, Kerrigan is a smart guy. Why hasn't he not hired Scott Levy?
Very good question. And listen, you know, Tommy Dreamer was running House of Hardcore for a long time. Yeah, he's well past his wrestling prime, and he's not going to be a guy that's going to draw tons and tons and tons of people, but he has a really, really good reputation. I remember he ran shows here in Poughkeepsie, and a lot of the wrestlers who were on the card who were big names, he got big names in, all said great things about Tommy Dreamer. Great guy to work for, great, you know, guy backstage, great guy, you know, helping out with the matches and booking the matches and getting the talent and coordinating things. So you've got somebody in Tommy Dreamer who's way more than just getting in the ring once in a while. You got somebody who can legit help your company. Legit help your company and has a really good reputation so that if he says, you know, you'd really like it over here, the guy he's talking to is going to listen a little bit. They're going to consider it because they like Dreamer. I've not heard anybody say anything bad about Tommy Dreamer. It's really weird in the wrestling industry, too, because you could say anybody's name. Oh, I take it back. There's one guy who doesn't like Tommy Dreamer. I'll mention it in a minute. But you mention Tommy Dreamer's name, and 99% of wrestlers say, yeah, I got no problem. He's great. Great guy. The one person I ran into who did not like him was Gangrel, David Heath. Gangrel had nothing but bad things to say about Tommy Dreamer. I don't know what their big personality clash was. They didn't like each other. But aside from that, Tommy Dreamer has built up really, really good rapport with the wrestling community, both fans and wrestlers. So he's a valuable addition over there, even if he never gets in the ring again. So if you had to add somebody like Scott Levy to creative, you've already got Dreamer over there, Molly Ray over there. You've got some good creative. Now you add a couple of names. I would definitely go after a Dolph Ziggler. I would definitely go after a Mustafa Ali. Absolutely would go after a Dana Brooke. Get those people. They're free agents right now. Get them. Absolutely go after Enzo. Those may not be oh my God names. But those are names that wrestling fans are going to say, that's interesting. I'm going to check that out. And then if you could get a blue chipper, like a Drew McIntyre, then that's the icing on the cake. That's just, well, okay, now we've got a legit top, top guy. That'll be the icing on the cake. But, I mean, you got to grow little by little, Tom, so I'm giving them some time. But if you're going to do this rebranding and launch it in January, I believe, right? At a pay-per-view, you better have a name or two that's going to make people go, you know, sit up and take notice.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm gonna build off of that, you know, get this certain guy in creative. Could you imagine Scott Levy, Raven, Bully Ray, Tommy Dreamer, part of the same creative team? And putting their head, they're all former ECW guys. And let's remind you, for people who don't already know, Bully Ray or Bubba Ray was Raven's brainchild just to entertain himself for the guys from Slapshot.
Yep.
So that was, you know, Bully Ray or Bubba Ray and Raven working together and Tommy Dreamer, all of them have history together for years in ECW and beyond. That would be freaking awesome. And get Throwback Jack in there for extra credit.
Got to be some chemistry there. There's got to be some chemistry. So then you'd have a pretty good writing foundation mixed with who you got now. You could potentially sign, like I said, a Ziggler, Mustafa Ali, maybe Enzo. You could try to pursue a Drew McIntyre. I don't know if you got the money to do it or you don't, but you could try. You could try to get somebody in like that. If Sting says he's retiring from AEW, you could ask him, you know, how much would it be for us to couple-of-year contract to come over here and be a GM or you know, an off-screen out-of-ring personality. You don't have to get in the ring at all. He might be willing to do something, especially since, you know, he has a history there. There's a lot you could do with this, Mike, so it's going to be very interesting to see how serious they are because this could range from anything as little as we changed our logo and we got new belts to we have totally revamped our lineup, we have totally revamped our television, We have totally revamped our production. We have totally revamped our stories and our creative. I mean, we're just going to have to wait and see what they really mean by revamping the brand.
Right, and that's the thing. Think about this. They what you call it? I think AEW is about ready to let go on Arn Anderson and his son.
Yep.
Brock Anderson. Now, the rumors about Brock Arn wanting to try to get Brock on with the WWE, but Brock Anderson would be a good get. Actually, the rumors are that Cody wants Brock Anderson in the WWE, but that's another question for another time. But he would be a good fit for TNA, as would his dad, you know, as would Jake the Snake Roberts. That's another guy they could go after.
Absolutely. There's a ton of people, a ton, that they could go after. And if they got even a tenth of them, you'd be doing something. Again, I don't know how serious they are. I have no idea how serious they are about, you know, revamping the product. All I know is what they said. And they said it's going to be a total revamp. So if it's a total revamp, then the sky's the limit. But you're going to have to spend some money. You're going to have to open up those purse strings. You're going to have to actively pursue people. And you got to know that it's going to cost you some money. But in the long run, it's worth it. So we'll just have to wait and see. Should be really interesting. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown, because I really thought SmackDown did something, and I wrote to Mike about it, too. I thought they did something that they hadn't done in a while. And that is, they let a guy cut a promo that is definitely an alpha male promo. Mixed in with the Sami Zayn's whining about, I don't know, my friend left me, and Kevin Owens, well, my friend, I'm separated from my friend, and, you know, Jey Uso saying, my brother turned his back on me, and Jimmy Uso saying, nobody trusts me, and everybody being a whiner, and everybody being a beta male. Comes a promo with LA Knight where he basically said, I'm kicking Roman Reigns' ass. And Paul, if you say too much more, I might kick yours. Because I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy who's going to come out here and take your bullshit in so many words. Paul Heyman played it off perfectly. I thought it was hilarious when he told Paul Heyman to get out of the ring and then said, get back here. Thought it was hilarious when he told him to shut up and then answer me. He totally dominated Paul Heyman, made Paul Heyman nervous. The only thing that would have added to this promo, and I really thought they were going to do it, I was waiting for it, and I said, they're going to do this. When Paul Heyman took that sneaky little grin on his face after he knew LA Knight was out of the ring and whispered, call Roman Reigns, I thought LA Knight was going to get back in the ring and say, give me the phone. And then he was going to tell Roman Reigns, hello, Roman Reigns. Yeah, I'm calling from Paul Heyman's phone. I just wanted to let you know your ass is getting kicked in Saudi Arabia. I really thought that was happening. That would have been absolutely perfect. Never happened before. Nobody's ever taken the phone from Paul Heyman to talk to Roman Reigns, right? And if you let Roman Reigns have it on the other end of the line, whether he's really on the line or not, it's irrelevant. It would have been gold. They didn't go that far, Mike, but I thought this was one of the best promos LA Knight has cut, and I think if he can continue to do this and they allow him to do this more aggressive personality, that's what's going to bring him over the top fan-wise.
Absolutely. And think about this. What's the other thing that he said? I'm going to slap the color out your hair. I'm going to make you go gray again.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That was a funny line, but that's an alpha male line, though.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Yeah. It wasn't like, I know Roman Reigns is great, you know.
If you can do this with him, and we all know what Carlito's deal is, right? He's an alpha male.
Yep.
Carlito.
Yep.
we now have two alpha males.
Yeah, suddenly we went from zero to at least, while Brock Lesnar's not around. I mean, you could say Drew McIntyre to an extent, but it's fading a little bit. Yeah, this is an interesting thing, because I thought they were going to cut LA Knight off at the knees and tell him not to do too much of this, you know, alpha male talk. But no, they let him fly. They let him fly, and he really, you know, there's so many people got in there with Paul Heyman, like Cody Rhodes or Sami Zayn or whoever, and said, I know Roman is great, but you're underestimating me, and I think with the fans' help, I can rise to the occasion. Nobody just ever said, hey, Paul, I'm kicking his ass. He's nowhere near as good as you think he is. You're nowhere near as good as you think you are. Open your mouth again and put my name on it. I'm going to slap you upside your head. Finally, somebody did. And that's why the crowd reacted, Todd, because they finally got the guy that they're looking for a year to actually fight back a little bit verbally.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Gary, like you said about that that opening promo the other night with LA Knight and Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman pulled up Bobby Heenan. He actually pulled up Bobby Heenan trying to escape the ring.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, now Paul Heyman helped sell that. There's no question. But it was a brilliant, only would have been made better if he grabbed that phone away from Paul Heyman and read Roman Reigns the Riot Act over the phone, Tom. But it still was real good.
Man, and we had this conversation yesterday and said, I wish it would have gone a little farther. That's everything he did, that LA Knight did, was awesome. I enjoyed the segment, and it was finally getting back to that alpha male thing where they were, you know, been thoroughly lacking. I was also waiting when he said, call Roman Reigns, and he whispered it, and I'm waiting for LA Knight to turn around, like, slowly, that dramatic, like, turn,
yep.
And be like, oh, F around and find out. You know, get back in the ring, and you have Paul Heyman just nearly shit his pants. That would have been great, but they didn't pull the trigger on it. Maybe they thought, you know, it was going to be too much, but the fans would have blew the roof off that building.
They sure would have, and you didn't even have to hear Roman Reigns' voice. It's not like you really had to make him on there. All he would have had to do is go in there, hold out his hand to give me the phone, and have Paul shaking his head, no, 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 and him saying yes, 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 and then Paul reluctantly handing him the phone, and then LA Knight just ripping in. To Roman Reigns, and then handing it back to Paul Heyman would have been gold. They didn't do it, but it was still good. Now, the John Cena thing I thought was good, where he baited the audience into thinking he was going to retire and then said, no, I still got some fight left in me. John Cena, you could put in that category as well, I guess, Mike. You know, he's still that kind of has that alpha male feel to him. He's always the guy who says, I can get it done. So WWE's starting to pick business up there.
They're starting to pick business up, but they've got, I mean, Cena's what? He's going to go back to doing, you know, the TV,
yep,
and all that stuff. What's his name?
Sure.
Is what, 40, in his 40s already, is LA Knight.
Yep.
They need somebody younger in
I
that
agree.
Same vein, but that's younger, you know?
Absolutely agree, because even LA Knight is not young. Carlito's not young. So, yeah, they absolutely 100% do. You're 100% right about that. Anyway, we get, we had Montez Ford against Santos Escobar. Good match. This was probably Santos Escobar's best match. Montez Ford and Santos Escobar work very well together. Very well. I'm sorry to see Santos being like the fall guy for everything. Now that Carlito showed up, he's really going to be the fall guy. See, Santos was sort of playing the Carlito part until Carlito showed up, and now Santos is going to be, you know, the lower man on the totem pole, as we clearly see. Carlito running in there with a chair afterwards, clearing the ring is fine. I think Escobar elevated himself with this match, though, because he did well, really well. And, again, a good large portion of it can be attributed to Montez Ford. They work extremely well together, Todd, and this was a good match.
I Yeah, right there, like you said, that was a good match between Escobar and Montez Ford there the other night. You know, when Carlito came out, fans erupted, and you know, like you said, it looks like you got Carlito renewing an old rivalry with Bobby Lashley back in the early 2000s when they first came in.
Yeah, it should be very interesting. Then they keep playing these Alba Fire and Isla Dawn spooky Halloween packages. That's all well and good. I wish you'd have done this when you first brought them in before you got their asses kicked. Why did you not do this before you ever introduced them into a WWE ring so that their debut could have been after these video vignettes that really sell who they're supposed to be? Nobody knew who the hell they were supposed to be, so they just get in the ring and get their ass kicked. And people are like, I've already seen it. I've already seen this act. And they weren't that great. They were 50-50. That's not how you want to introduce somebody. These video packages are great. But they never should have wrestled one time until after these video packages aired, Mike, because I don't know if the video packages is going to be able to, rehabilitate that.
Right. And that's the thing. We've said it before about the WWE. They do things. There are times when they do things ass backwards. They've done this thing ass backwards.
Yeah, and that was as ass backwards as it gets. Cool and all, and maybe people will forget they saw him a few times, but I don't think so. Anyway, this is one that gets heavily criticized, and I'm going to take people to task for criticizing this. Logan Paul comes out, cuts his promo, and Rey Mysterio comes out to accept the challenge at Crown Jewel. A lot of people were saying Logan Paul was kind of low energy, Rey Mysterio was kind of low energy. I did not get that vibe at all. I think, and again, I'm trying to be very fair because I don't really like Logan Paul. He's a very annoying person in real life, it seems. I listen to his podcast once in a while. He's a very annoying guy. But if I have ever seen someone who is a natural in this business, it is Logan Paul. There is just something about him that screams professional wrestling. And what I love most about him, and people are criticizing him for it, but I love it, is that he, even though he's a heel, he's not one of these heels who say, Rey Mysterio, you're nothing, you're a piece of garbage, you're way past your prime, I'm going to beat your ass, you're a loser, should have retired 20 years ago. He doesn't do that. He says, yeah, I know you're great, but, I'm here now. I'm the future. And then he doesn't say, and all the fans suck. If you're holding your hand out, he slaps a few fans' hands. Why wouldn't you? I always said that. If you're a heel and there's somebody in that audience that agrees with you, I know why the heels don't do it. Well, we don't want to get a baby face pop. But a conceited heel would want to eat up the attention from the people who believe he's great, right? A conceited heel would be like, see, I got fans. I told you I'm great. I always hated it when a conceited heel was like, nah, I'm not touching anybody. I'm better than you. Well, a conceited heel wants to be fed, right? So I love when Logan Paul slaps hands with people in the audience who has his gear on or has a prime energy drink or something, Tom, because it makes it feel real.
Yeah, for sure. And I get like, I'm old school, I guess, and I don't like the cool bad guys. But if there's somebody in the audience, I'm with you on that one. If there's somebody in the audience that agrees with the heel and you're the heel that knows it, of course slap their hand. Don't just like be whatever and just like walk away from them. Like you got people on your side and you're the bad guy. Like eat it up and cater to those for the rest of them, whatever. But you should come out and. You should come out and glad hand a little bit. If people are trying to glad hand you because they agree with you, great.
See, it almost rubs it into Rey Mysterio. It almost rubs it in because you're like, hey, you're Rey Mysterio. This whole crowd should love you, but look, here's some people who love me. They think I'm right. you know, it's almost like eating away at Ray. You don't have the whole audience on your side, Ray, see? So I love it when he does that. That's number one. Number two, second thing that I loved, and maybe he was coached to do it, I don't know, but if he just did it naturally, again, here's a guy who's born for the business if he just did it naturally. He not only shakes Rey Mysterio's hand and doesn't sneak attack him like everybody thought was going to happen, but when he goes to leave the ring, he looks behind him like he thought Rey might sneak attack him. So now you're looking at a guy who's so arrogant that he's like Rey Mysterio the legend, after I shook his hand, might actually attack me from behind. The disrespect that that shows in just that action of looking behind you like you might back jump me makes him a very, very good heel, Mike.
Right. Yeah, and I agree with you there. But here's something else to think about. That whole lead up, him arriving and them showing him in the boxing ring and doing what he was doing and beating that guy to a pulp, and then this,
yep,
and then this, you know what this does? He's a younger guy. This gives him that cachet of that dripping it, that alpha male.
Or at least if not, I mean, because he's supposed to be a heel, so he might be that, oh, well, you know, I'll cheat. If I think I can't win, but it still gives him the arrogance to say, I'm going to disrespect Rey Mysterio by actually looking behind me as if he might sneak attack me. I'm above sneaking attack him, but he might sneak attack me. That's a brilliant move, Todd, for a heel, because it basically disrespects Rey Mysterio without verbally disrespecting him.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said with Logan Paul here, and I'm surprised Logan Paul didn't attack Rey Mysterio. Did it like a respect thing, shaking the hands, respecting.
Glad he didn't. I'm very glad he didn't. Tom, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a very subtle heel move to say Rey Mysterio, the legendary luchador, the Hall of Famer, may sneak attack me, even though I'm basically a rookie here, because that's how low he would have to stoop in order to beat me. That little subtle thing, that little bit of disrespect, I think makes him an excellent heel.
Man, was that cool, because I thought the opposite, and I, like you, was glad that he didn't like sneak attack Ray, but the fact that he turned around and looked subtly and was like, am I going to get attacked? Rey Mysterio, of all people who's been the squeaky clean babyface his entire
right.
career,
is
Rey Mysterio
right.
going to attack me? What is, like, why would anybody think such a thing? But it's brilliant. And I'm sure if he thought of that on his own, even more brilliant, and nothing screams like you're meant to be in this business than doing those subtle things that just come
yes.
naturally to you. If somebody coached him, more power to him. Because that, honestly...
Yeah, I agree. I don't know whether he was coached to do it or not, but if that was something he did on his own, then I am a Logan Paul wrestling fan. Because you don't find that sort of instinctual thing with a lot of people. He's been in this, you know, for a cup of coffee, and he's already shown the athletic ability. But now he's beginning to show those little subtle things that make such a huge difference. I can guarantee you 75% of fans never really thought of it in that way, that what a sign of disrespect to a legend. I better watch my back or Rey Mysterio might jump me. You can't get more disrespect than that. And after he had said all kinds of good things about him. So you know it was being disingenuous. He makes the best disingenuous heel I've seen in a long time. Because he's not necessarily super arrogant. He doesn't come out like The Miz and say, let me tell you something, you're nothing. I've been in this business and I don't care. And I'm Rey Mysterio, you may be a legend, but he doesn't do all that. He comes out and says, you know, I want the match. He acts like he's going to be your friend. He acts like, oh, I got nothing but good things to say about you. But then he does those little subtle things like, I wonder if he's going to back jump me. It's a great act. He's got it going on, I'm telling you. It would not hurt my feelings if he beats Rey Mysterio. I think he'd make a pretty good champion. And boy, would I love to see some Carlito matches with him. So, that's interesting. We then get to, Austin Theory and Grayson Waller beating Cameron Grimes and Dragon Lee. I am so freaking, number one, this match is a horror show. Number two, boy, did the shine come off of Cameron Grimes. This is all you're going to do with Cameron Grimes? And Dragon Lee was getting this is awesome chance a couple of weeks ago against Dominic Mysterio. And now you're just going to put him in a losing effort against Grayson Waller and Austin Theory? Are you kidding? Is this all you got for Dragon Lee after bringing him to the main roster? Is this all you got for Cameron Grimes? Holy crap. Now, Cameron Grimes didn't do himself any favors. Because he did not put on a good performance. But Dragon Lee did. Dragon Lee is the real deal. And I think you do a lot more with a mic than just put him in a tag team in a losing effort against Waller and Austin Theory.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And as far as Cameron Grimes goes, that's another guy that probably could go back to TNA. Because he was there before. Mm,
absolutely. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me in any way, shape, or form. Now, they did a pretty good promo with Pretty Deadly getting attacked. Those guys are entertaining, if nothing else. I'm not the biggest fan of the gimmick, but it's interesting and it's fun, so I guess I don't have too many complaints about that. The Kevin Owens interview, okay, whatever, it's more of the same, boo-hoo-hoo, Sammy's not here. However, I'm looking forward to a lot of first-time matches. We then get to Io Sky versus Charlotte Flair. This was a very strong match. And, of course, it featured the return of Bianca Belair, who saved Flair from damage control. This was a very good main event. In these circumstances, I know I've said the women are very seldom the main event because they very seldom deserve to be the main event. But this deserved to be the main event, and it was a good main event. These type of main events, you absolutely can do. If you're going to give them time, you're going to give them a good storyline, they're going to bust their ass. Charlotte Flair did an excellent job in this match. So did Io Sky. They both let it all hang out here. It was very entertaining. Had got plenty of time. And I really think it did them both favors. They both ended up looking better for it. And now we got the return of Bianca Belair, so that's going to be interesting to see where that goes. Overall, I think this was a pretty strong SmackDown, Tom. There's a couple little things I didn't care for, but for the most part, I thought it was successful.
I liked SmackDown this week. There's a couple of things that I was just like, okay, I could do without, but The L.A. Knight thing, I really was waiting for him to get back in the ring. And hell, you want to take it a little even further than just grabbing the phone and tell Roman Reigns, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm calling from Paul Heyman's phone, and I'm going to kick your ass at Crown Jewel. Then have him give Paul Heyman could take a bump. Give him his finisher and put it up on the Tron as Roman Reigns, to antagonize him, like, come on. I know I could beat you, kind of thing. But
here's my idea I'm going to pitch. You guys tell me what you think. It's going to cost the WWE probably nothing, because they probably would have donated it. But what would have happened if LA Knight got back in that ring and said, give me the phone. Yells at Roman Reigns, saying, you know, I'm going to kick your ass in Saudi Arabia. Can't wait to get there. It's going to be a long flight home without your belt, and you're blah, 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 blah. And then instead of giving Paul Heyman the phone back, dials Pizza Hut and says, yeah, I need 14 pizzas delivered to the arena. And then, because they're their sponsors, put it on Paul Heyman's bill, right? Paul Heyman will pay for it. Throw the phone back to Paul Heyman, and then show people in the audience eating Pizza Hut pizza. that L.A. Knight just ordered through Paul Heyman would have been absolutely brilliant because, number one, you got the sponsorship in. Pizza Hut is being mentioned. Pizza Hut pizza is being eaten by the audience. Paul Heyman had to pay for the damn thing because L.A. Knight said put her to contact Paul Heyman for the payment. And I think that would have just went over huge with the audience.
Man, and then you can have Paul Heyman like, you know how much that, listen, my trouble chief, we got to talk. Do you know how much that cost me?
Right, exactly. Paul Heyman could be backstage. Paul Heyman could be backstage literally like saying, I'm not giving you a tip to the guy who delivered it. I didn't really order these and I'm not giving you a tip.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The sky's the limit with that.
There's so much you could have done. What would have really been funny is if Paul Heyman's yelling and screaming, I'm not giving you a tip. I didn't order the damn pizzas anyway, and I'm not giving you a tip, and then storms back into the Bloodline dressing room where Solo Sikoa and Jimmy Uso are eating Pizza Hut. That would have been brilliant. I'm surprised they didn't think of it, Mike. I think that would have been gold.
I think that would have been gold, too. And especially at the fact that there's rumors that The Rock's daughter is going to be joining the Bloodline. But we'll see about that at another time. But, yeah, you're right. The pizza thing would have been gold, you know. I mean.
Can you imagine all night long if they did it, Mike? Can you imagine if everywhere they went backstage, somebody was chowing down on a piece of Pizza Hut pizza, and Paul Heyman was just like, where did you get that? How many did he order? You know, that would have been really brilliant because the announcers are eating it. People backstage are eating it. The wrestlers are eating it. There's fans in the first several rows that's eating it. Pizza Hut would have donated them pizza. For that publicity? Are you kidding? Hey, you know, you have the girl backstage. I'm here with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens got a slice of pizza in his hand. I think that would have been brilliant, Todd. I'm surprised they missed the boat on that.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like you said, that would have been great when LA Knight orders pizza for the arena. He's on Roman Reigns or Paul Heyman's bill or something on one of their
right.
credit cards. That'd be hilarious.
Man, I need 50 large pizzas delivered to the arena. It would have been so, so funny. And that's the kind of thing, these little small things that you remember forever. You know how much Pizza Hut would have got out of that? Because that would have been on all these highlight reels. Remember the time that L.A. Knight ordered 50 pizzas for the arena and everybody backstage and Pizza Hut came in with like 50 pizzas and the announcers were eating it and the backstage announcers were eating it and the wrestlers were eating it and the fans were eating it. And, you know, it would have been so worth that little extra time that they gave to it, Tom. You would have gotten a memory out of that. And that's the kind of thing that makes a guy like L.A. Knight hugely popular.
Yeah, absolutely. And what you throw, I know Tozawa's on Raw, but how funny would that have been? Like, Tozawa's supposed to be afraid of everybody. He's come back, right. He's eating, like, he's just sitting in the corner eating a slice of pizza and is like, in his Alpha Academy gear. He's like, but Tozawa, where did you get that? And he just looks at him and runs away. Or ask him if he wants a bite.
Yeah, can you imagine if, like I said, Paul Heyman walking around backstage aggravated, and everybody he runs into is eating a slice of pizza. It would have been gold. Would have been gold. And it's going to make your sponsor super happy. And it's going to make the fans super happy because some of them are going to get a slice of pizza, quite a few of them. I think that's a no-brainer. Pizza Hut would have donated those pizzas. Absolutely 100% would have for the publicity they're going to get. That's going to make it, and you know that's going to be like, oh, look what happened earlier. There's another Pizza Hut commercial. Then next week, oh, remember when this happened? There's another commercial. Paul Heyman coming out next week saying, I want you to know that I had to fly home commercial because I didn't have enough money on my credit card for a decent flight, thanks to L.A. Knight. There's so much you could have done with that to make that a moment. And I think they did the minimal they could. See, this is my problem with WWE. Always take an idea, and if it's a good idea, say, how do I make it better? Is there a way to make it better? Is there a way to flesh it out? Is there a way that it can be superior? This didn't take but 5 minutes to figure out. You've got your sponsor. Do it. You have backstage, you had Wade Barrett. That one night you had Wade Barrett and a couple other people eating Pizza Hut. Who was it? Xavier Woods, and I forget who the third person was. And they're all like, oh, Pizza Hut. Well, why couldn't you do that again? The moment that he hangs up that phone with Roman Reigns and says, oh, not so fast, dials a few quick numbers, say, yeah, Pizza Hut, I need 50 pizzas delivered to whatever, contact Paul Heyman, he'll pay you. Throw the phone back. He will be like, he didn't really do that. And the next thing you know, here come pizzas. And the audience is getting a slice. Absolutely gold. No money really involved for the WWE. And you made a moment and you helped solidify a character. I would have ran with that all day long, Mike. That sounds like a winner to me.
I mean, what do you remember the most? You remember Stone Cold riding the Zamboni. You remember
exactly.
the Bitter Bash. You remember the Kurt Angle and the Milk Bath, right?
Yes.
That's what you remember.
Yes.
Those things you remember. And can you imagine what would have happened if he goes to see Mick Aldis and Mick Aldis is eating a piece of pizza?
Right. That would be brilliant to go in and say, I'm going to the commissioner. This is not going to stand. And then he goes in the office and there's Mick Aldis with a piece of pizza in his hand. He's just like, never mind. It would have been absolute gold. I just don't understand how the writers can't think of things like that. I don't understand why they can't. It's so obvious. It's right there in front of you. Paul Heyman has annoyed people for ages with the call Roman Reigns thing, the first person to actually get take it away from him, L.A. Knight. And then to add insult to injury, thinks of calling the Pizza Hut and ordering pizza for half the audience and everybody backstage on Paul Heyman's account. How is that not a great moment? And like you said, everybody he's passing by is eating pizza, so he's finally like, I'm going to Nick Aldis. This isn't going to stand. L.A. Knight don't get to do this to me. Walk backstage, and there's Nick Aldis with a slice of pizza in his hand, or a Pizza Hut box. Absolute gold. Absolute gold. And then, you know, even at the end of the night, Jimmy Uso, right? Jey Uso kicks the hell out of Jimmy, and he's thrown out. And Nick Aldis says, you got to leave. And before he leaves, he grabs a couple of slices. I mean, you couldn't possibly beat that, Mike.
You couldn't have possibly beat that. I mean, over the years, we've said, you know, we need to have sponsors. I mean, look, sponsors, and all that stuff. And at one point, it was Stacker Food. At one point, it was something else. At one point, it was, you know, other things. You know, and now you get a sponsor that you can actually work into a storyline. And, I mean, look, the week before, last week, when Xavier Woods comes out and brings the pizza to Barrett and Michael Cole, I mean, that should have told them something. That got a pop. That should have told them something.
You would have thought so. I mean, how is this not a million times better than that promo? How is this not a million times better? And again, okay, we've just sat around and talked about it, and we've all come up with great ideas. Absolutely, Nick Aldis has to be eating a slice of that pizza when Paul Heyman comes in to complain. Because then what's Paul Heyman supposed to say? Even Aldis is eating a piece. And then Aldis says, all right, I'm going to be a tough guy here. I'm not going to stand for this. Jay, you're fined $10,000, and you're out of here. And Jey Uso starts to be let out by security, pauses a second, grabs a couple of slices out of the box, and starts chowing down on him right in front of Paul Heyman, who's literally like, he's got some pizza. It would have been absolutely sensational, Tom. Another missed opportunity.
Yeah, definitely a missed opportunity. What did that little thing take us to come up with? 5-6 minutes? So there's so much you could have done. And it would have been an entertaining segment. The fans would have went home happy. They would have been – that's something to talk about at the water cooler at work the next day. You know what I mean? So those are memorable moments, and the fans absolutely would have gotten their money, more of their money's worth for attending a live SmackDown.
And it's a great publicity for Pizza Hut. I remember going to an indie baseball game, and Carl's Jr. was there, and they said everybody, there was a lot of people, not as much as a WWE event, but there was a lot of people. They said every person at this baseball game, after the game is over, stop by the outside. We got the Carl's Jr. big truck there. Everybody's getting a cheeseburger and fries. Everybody. And everybody did. If that's not great publicity for Carl's Jr. So you mean to tell me Pizza Hut wouldn't have upped it for a slice, one single slice for everybody or near everybody in the audience? What's it going to really cost them in the long run? Way less than a TV commercial. And it's great publicity. There's so much you can do with things if you just break it down a little bit and you don't rush it. But they want to rush LA Knight quick. They did the right thing with his segment. He took no shit from Paul Heyman. He took no shit from Roman Reigns. He told it like it was. I'm kicking his ass. That's all good. But you had the ability to make it great by making that character memorable and saying, from this point on, everybody's going to say, remember when L.A. Knight ordered Pizza Hut for the whole friggin' audience? And Paul Heyman flipped out. That's magic. That's a magic moment, Mike. That's one of those, you nailed it when you said, that's the Kurt Angle beer truck. That's the Stone Cold driving the Zamboni. Those are the moments that fans remember.
That's right. I mean, what do they remember? What does Kurt Angle all the time say they remember about him? It's not any of the matches he does, him driving the milk truck. You know, that type of thing. You know, and that's the thing. Think about it. You said that Jey Uso got thrown out, but who else got thrown out with Jey Uso? What's his name, the other general man, right? Yeah, that's right. He should have took some too. I mean, can you imagine? Not only is Nick Aldis eating a piece of pizza, but Jey Uso takes some and the other guy takes some. So yeah.
Yeah, Adam Pearce. And I got news. If you'd done that segment within a week, Pizza Hut would have suggested, can we get LA Knight to do like a thing with like a box of Pizza Hut or something that says, you know, an ad for Pizza Hut? You would have seen that in magazines. You would have seen that in whatever. These are the things that WWE used to take advantage of. Pizza Hut's now going to say, wait a minute. Can we get them to do like a little ad thing? Can we get them to, hold a pizza box or something? Are we going to use that as an ad saying, take one home tonight or whatever? There's so much you could have done, and then that would have made him larger-than-life character. These are the things you need to really think of because you don't get a second chance at it. Anyway, despite all of the unfortunate, lack of creativity when it comes to that, they still did an excellent job with LA Knight. Santos Escobar still did a fantastic job in there with Montez Ford. They worked brilliantly together. The feature match with Io Sky and Charlotte Flair was excellent, and you gave it plenty of time. My only real gripe in this entire SmackDown is I just don't know why the hell you have lowered Cameron Grimes and Dragon Lee into being cannon fodder tag team. I just don't understand that. I thought you had real plans for Cameron Grimes, and I thought you had some plans definitely for Dragon Lee, and apparently you do not. And this is why people don't want to come from NXT up to WWE, because they get their debut, they get a good response, and then next week they're dropping matches as a jabron tag team. I wouldn't want to come up either. Keep doing that, because no one's going to want to come up. I mean, Cameron Grimes is one thing if you say, well, you know, we thought better of it, and he's going to be just a very, low mid-carder. Okay, but Dragon Lee was getting chance if this is awesome in a match Are you not going to do anything with a guy that's getting chance of this is awesome in a match? Did you really think it was Dominic Mysterio who was carrying that match? Now, I know, and by the way, he speaks very good English. So it's not like he can't handle a mic or do whatever. He can do all that. So I don't get it. I just don't get it. Now, Carlito, you better do the right thing by. And that means the first few people he faces, he better kick their ass. And he shouldn't stand for the nonsense. In other words, if you do something to Carlito, like back jump him, he should back jump you back. He should do something equally bad and not give one damn about it. Because he's not supposed to be a squeaky, clean, good guy. He's supposed to be a sort of a machismo type guy who says, yeah, well, I'm not taking that. You want to gang jump me? I'll get you individually, one way or the other, I'll get you. Build his reputation as a guy that you say, hey, you don't necessarily want to cross him. He'll find a way to get you. That's the whole point of having Carlito. So you got to use him that way. You got to use him that he's about a heartbeat away from being a heel. Otherwise, he's not valuable. He can't be a squeaky, clean, good guy. He can't be Rey Mysterio. He can't be the, oh, I wouldn't stoop to that level. No, he's got to be the guy that says, oh, I'll go way worse than that. They think that's bad? That was nothing. Wait till you see what happens to them. That's the only way I can see Carlito being super successful here, Mike.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. Now, one other thing about that, the Charlotte Flair match. That Charlotte Flair match with Io Sky reminded me of that the Charlotte Flair match with Rhea Ripley when that looked like that match looked like a fight. It looked like
it sure
a struggle.
Did.
It looked like
it sure did.
Yeah, yeah. You can yeah. understand why Bayley thought they had to. She had to come out there and interfere because it was a struggle for Io Sky, and it should be a struggle for Io Sky because you're facing a 14-time or 15-time champion.
Absolutely, it looked fantastic. And here's one more for the Pizza Hut thing. Carlito's always eating an apple. How about if somebody goes over to him for an interview, you see him chowing down. They think it's the apple, turn around, and it's a slice of pizza, Tom.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. That's great. He was like, you know, normally I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool, but this pizza is actually pretty good. I'm not going to spit it out. How funny would that be?
The idea behind it is, obviously, that everybody's getting a slice. And Paul Heyman is calculating how many pizzas did he order? Half the audience has got a slice. Everybody backstage has got a slice. Hell, the announcers have got slices. How many of these pizzas did this guy order? That would be the funny part, with Paul Heyman freaking out, saying, everywhere I go, there's another pizza. That's just cha-ching on my credit card that I got to pay for. Would have been funny. I'm sorry they didn't do that. Still in all, this was one of the better SmackDowns I've seen. I hated what they did with Cameron Grimes and Dragon Lee, but I get that they're trying to push Grayson Waller and Austin Theory as a tag team. I wish they wouldn't have used them to do it. There's other teams you could have done it with, but okay. That's a minor point. Main event, fantastic. Santos Escobar and Montez Ford, fantastic. LA Knight's promo, fantastic. We could have made it better, but it was still fantastic. Kevin Owens' interview was okay. There was a couple of things, like I said, that wasn't super. Rey Mysterio, Logan Paul, I thought that was fantastic. The video packages they're doing for Alba Fry and Isla Dawn, fantastic. A little too late, but it's fantastic. Better late than never, I guess. So I'm going to give this a B-, Mike. I think it was real good. It could have been better, but I'm satisfied with it.
You know, I'm going to give it a little bit better. I'm going to give it a flat B because I really like some of it. I really like the main event. I mean, that was a banger of a main event, you know. And
yeah,
that's no joke. And she just shows you what a properly motivated Charlotte Flair can do.
Yeah, well, you're right about that. People can hate on Charlotte all they want. When Charlotte Flair is at her best, she is possibly the best wrestler in best women's wrestler in the WWE and maybe in all of United States. Very possible. She is very, very good. She's very, very athletic. She has very good psychology. She has the ability to make it look like she's really trying to beat your ass as opposed to I'm trying to do dance moves. That's the one thing I like about her. If Charlotte Flair were to train women workers when her time in the ring is done, the one thing she really, really needs to stress on them is make it look like you're fighting, not dancing, because too many of the women look like they're dancing. Not all of them, but a significant amount, enough so you're like, eh, I'm not buying their offense. All right, let's go to Tom. Tom, what do you think on this week's SmackDown?
You know what? I thoroughly enjoyed SmackDown with the exception of Cameron Grimes and Dragon Lee. That was bad. I'm taking points off for that. And, I might be in the minority here, but I'm a little bit miffed at the WWE with the main event being Charlotte Flair and Io. And here, not that it wasn't a good match. It was a great match, and they gave it plenty of time. But at the same time, why didn't you do that exact same thing with Asuka and Io Sky? If Charlotte and Io Sky could be the main event and you give them 25 minutes, why didn't you do that a couple of weeks ago with Asuka? And that kind of pissed me off because Asuka and Io Sky could have been so much better. How much they know each other. They have a history. They're both from the Japanese school of wrestling or era of wrestling. It could have been so much better, and they put it in the middle of the show, damn near the beginning of the show, and they gave him, 11?
No, there's no doubt that they shortchanged them on that. There's no doubt about that. And there's no doubt that they would be capable of putting on just as good, if not better, match. I'm with you on that. But still, this was a very good main event. Todd, what's your rating?
I give it a singer like you did, like a B-.
All right, now I don't know if we got Tom's actual rating before he left, but I'm assuming that he's right around where we were with this. This was a very good episode. It did a lot of things right and very few things wrong. So I'm pretty happy with it overall. Let's see if they can carry this momentum. We will be back here on Tuesday with a Monday Night Raw report. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.